can't remember. And we only have 77,000, roughly 77,000 people in the Melbourne area. 2.5 million people in an 87 square mile landmass. Wow. Just seems like a lot of people. Then one other thing before we get started. Brother France, what year were you saved? 1953, okay. That's what I thought, but praise the Lord. 63 years. Brother McTaggart celebrated 72 years Saturday. Praise the Lord for these two brethren, both of them. Saved and still faithful, serving the Lord. We praise the Lord for that testimony. 72 and 63 years. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 1. And we are ready for verse 5. So we'll read verse 5 this evening. Also, out of the midst thereof, that is, out of the midst of the cloud and the fire which was enfolding itself in the cloud. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. The likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. We'll be looking at the four living creatures. That which comes out of the fire, out of a fiery amber color, when it comes to be distinctly viewed, is the likeness of four living creatures. Not the living creatures themselves, but the likeness of them. This likeness of the living creatures came out of the center of the cloud, out of the midst of the fire. And they are explained in Ezekiel as cherubim. Turn with me to the 10th chapter of Ezekiel. And he references these living creatures in verse 15. He said, "And the cherubims were lifted up." This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kibar. So he lets us know what those living creatures were that he saw. They're cherubim. Verse 20 says, "This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kibar, and I knew that they were the cherubims." So they are cherubim. I want us to think about the cherubim and do some comparison here. We have references to them in the Word of God. They keeping the entrance to the garden. Sin entered and God put cherubim there. And along with the cherubim, he put a flaming sword in the third chapter. Turn with me to the third chapter in verse 22. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God set him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden, Notice that the east of the garden, the word east there, actually I looked it up, it signifies or meant in front of. So he placed in front of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Cherubim were placed at the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way. In other words, all entrance to the Garden of Eden was guarded, was protected against. I just want to stray just a little bit here for a moment. The cherubim, what was the significance of the cherubim at the Garden of Eden? I believe this was, if you find cherubim, you'll find that they were on the mercy seat, over the mercy seat. Which, and we'll cover that, which was God's throne. He's sitting on the mercy seat, on the seat of mercy. I believe that once Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, that this is where they had to come to worship the Lord. And I believe they taught their sons, Cain and Abel, this is where you come to worship God. So moving on. Also, we find cherubim in the curtains of the tabernacle. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus in chapter 26. And look here at verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. You say, what were cherubims? Well, cherubims were, the definition of the Hebrew word is angelic beings. And an angelic being. I don't know. I for years, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, I think that may be because of our tainted world, but I've pictured cherubim as wings. Having wings. And you see replicas of what was in the tabernacle and the cherubim over the mercy seat, and you'll see cherubim represented by angelic beings with wings. Well, that's not too far-fetched, is it? We're studying Ezekiel's vision, and we're not there yet, but we're going to get into it. There were wings. And these beings, and these angelic beings that Ezekiel saw. Verse 31 of the same chapter says, and thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work with cherubims shall be made. So these curtains and these veils was to have cherubims in them. I don't know whether it was, I suppose it was woven in to the fabric. There's going to be a significance. We'll try to bring this out before we get done with it tonight. Also, there were cherubim out of and at each end of the mercy seat. This is in the instructions given to the children of Israel, and the things that were to go in to the tabernacle. Turn with me to the 25th chapter. And look with me here at verse 17. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Mercy seat and cherubims coming up, all one piece, one work coming up. And make 1 cherub on the 1 end and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings. See, there's wings. On high, covering the mercy seat. And I remind you, the Hebrew word for cherubim means angelic being. With their wings and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimonies that I shall give thee. So you had the mercy seat built, cherubims, all one piece, coming up, facing one another over the mercy seat, and then that being set on top of the ark. We already made reference when we were in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 that cherubims were at the mercy seat, and that God was seated on the mercy seat, and Adam and Eve were to come and to worship God before the cherubim in the mercy seat. This brings us to the next point. God's presence was there with Israel on the mercy seat between the cherubim. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. In verse 1, again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubim. The Lord, the God of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubim. Now turn with me to 2 Kings. I think that's right. 2 Kings, yes, 19. 2 Kings, chapter 19, and look at verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Here we have 2 kings referencing the fact that God dwelleth between the cherubim. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalm in chapter 80. In verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Keep that verse in mind when we get to the next point. Turn with me now to the 99th chapter. In verse 1, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He setteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord setteth between the cherubim. Now, chapter 80 and verse 1 said, let the Lord shine forth. Let his glory shine forth from the mercy seat in the cherubims. And you can imagine, this was made of what? Gold. It would certainly reflect God's glory, would it not? The cherubim are said to exhibit the glory of God. Only place find that is we get an idea of it, we get a hint at it from chapter 80 of Psalms in verse 1. But we go to the book of Ezekiel to see that glory shining forth. Chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. And in verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. The glory of the Lord went up from what? From the cherub. Look at verse 18, same chapter. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. Folks, that to me is exciting. There's something there for us to take from this. These cherubim shone forth the glory of the Lord. They reflected the glory of the Lord. The vision that Ezekiel had was a vision of God and coming forth out of that cloud and out of the midst of the fire were these four cherubim. They were reflecting the glory of God. Are you saved? You are to reflect the glory of God. You're to shine forth the glory of God. We are to exhibit the glory of God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All that God had created showed forth his glory. It was very good. It wasn't just good, it was very good. And it shone forth the glory of God. What did he say in Romans chapter 1? I'm going a little bit off script now. That's all right. The politicians do it. I can do it too, can't I? What did he say in Romans chapter 1? Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen, God's creation shows forth his glory. Now, the natural man doesn't like to give God any glory. They don't even like to acknowledge God. He's not in all his thoughts. Not in his ways. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Book of Proverbs, chapter 16. In verse 4, the Lord hath made all things, how much? All things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. We were created for himself. We were created to give him honor and glory, to give him pleasure. Turn with me to Revelation, in chapter 4. In verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This massive universe to us, and everything in it, including man, was created for his will, created for his pleasure, created for his honor, for his glory. I missed it when we read it. I'm sure 16:4. Oh yeah, even the wicked were created for his glory. Like I've said before, there's a lot of things about the Word of God I can't explain. In fact, most of it I can't explain. I just believe it because it says it. We need more people to do that. The Word of God says it, I believe it. That's it. End of discussion. You see the picture, the cloud, shielding part of the glory of God, not letting it to shine in its fullness and in its brightness, the fire enfolding itself, not to let it be fully revealed. And out of the midst of there comes the cherubim. And the cherubim is reflecting the glory of God. And as we go through these living creatures, I think you'll see that that is so. That is happening. So secondly, we want to note, we've been calling them living creatures or cherubim. Note that they are living creatures, according to our text. That doesn't mean they're dead. But where do they get their life from? Where are they coming out of? They're coming out of God. They're coming out of His handiwork. As they came out of the center of the cloud, out of the midst of the fire, they are God's handiwork. Their existence is God's doing. It's not their own doing. You see, man has fallen short of, because he hasn't mastered creating another human being yet. But he's working hard to try to do it. That can't be done. He can only take and use that which God has already created to try to clone. And the cloning hasn't been very successful. Genesis chapter 1. You believe that book? You believe that chapter? Is it in God's Word? I believe it. Hebrews 11, commentary on that, I believe it by faith. Same as I'm saved by faith. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind. Notice that it's always after their kind. And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus in chapter 20. In verse 11. You know, it's funny, Genesis chapter 1, and Christians did this. Christians are the one that brought gap theorists around, you know. They did it to try to answer the evolutionist. But they'll try to explain away the first chapter of Genesis and say that's not seven literal 24-hour days. But then they come over here to the 20th chapter of Exodus and verse 11, and they'll believe it to be six literal 24-hour days. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He created it all. Animate and inanimate in the heavens. Animate and inanimate in the waters. Animate and inanimate on the earth. He created it all. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 45. Verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Everything in the heavens he made, animate and inanimate, and on earth, and put man on earth. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We have any racists here today? I didn't think so. Acts chapter 17. Look with me at verse 24. God, this is Paul expounding to those men at Mars Hill, the unknown God. He's the one, he says, I'm going to declare unto you the unknown God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We all came from Adam and Eve. Well, it was Adam. God named him Adam. Adam, after he sinned, or called her Eve. God created them. He gave them life. And those cherubim, those living creatures proceeding out of the cloud, out of the midst of the fire, coming forth, were representative of life given by God. Life given by the Almighty. They do not have life in and of themselves. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians, chapter 1. In verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. John. Chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered, that is, he answered Nicodemus, and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What did Jesus do? He drawed Nicodemus' attention to the fact of the birth. He got his mind to thinking on the birth. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born? See, he got him to thinking about being born. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, Nicodemus in this statement realized that he had nothing to do with his first birth. He didn't have, he had zilch, nothing to do with it. The next verse. Jesus said, You had nothing to do with the first birth, and you've got nothing to do with the second. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto ye, must be born again. That the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." He gives life. He gives all life. He gives natural life and he gives spiritual life. He's the giver of life. Turn with me to the sixth chapter. Verse 57. "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live of me." So life come from where? God. If you have spiritual life, it came from God. Next, we want to get into the appearance of the living creatures, the appearance of the cherubim. I think we'll wait next week to start that, though. You take what, and keep in mind, especially the first part of this message tonight, and the cherubim, and what we looked at the cherubim, and the mercy seat being God's dwelling place between the cherubim, and the cherubim reflecting the glory, exhibiting the glory of God, and we're to exhibit the glory of God. You keep that those thoughts in your mind as we continue to look at these living creatures. In fact, I challenge you to read verses 5 through 14 this next week. Think about those likenesses. That sounds about like a movie out of Hollywood. It's not. It's God. It's God that's playing some awesomeness to us. All right, shall we stand, be dismissed in word of prayer. Brother France, would you dismiss us, please?